Good morning. It's so good to be here. We've been here a week, and it's been an absolute delight. What a beautiful country. And just so exciting to see what God is doing in the hearts and lives here in this part of the world. I'm from Arkansas. I was born in Indiana and grew up there, got married, and lived there 9 years after we were married. And then God called us to Arkansas, to Hillcrest Home. Hillcrest Home is a nursing home where we take care of approximately 100 residents, older people who cannot care for themselves in some way or another. And we, along with other employees, we engage volunteers, college-age young people who come and serve for a year or more. And through that, funds are provided for missions. My role there is pastor, mostly focused on the discipleship program for the volunteers that serve there. But we have church there every Sunday, and residents can attend, and us administration families and so forth. So it's been a great blessing and a great joy to serve in God's kingdom in that part of the world and see lives changed. We just recently had one of the residents requested baptism, and so that was a unique experience that we had. He ended up dying a week later. So God is changing lives, young people's lives and old people's lives, and I praise him for that. If you have more questions about Hillcrest, if you want to come serve, come talk to me or talk to some of the young people that we have along. They'd be happy to tell you what happens there. This morning, the title of my message is Walking in the Father's Identity. Walking in the Father's Identity. There's a real identity crisis in the world today. There is so much fatherlessness. And so many times we as God's sons and daughters don't realize who we are. What does God say about his sons and his daughters? What did he say about his only begotten son? Mark 1:11 says, and this was when John the Baptist was preaching and baptizing, and Jesus came on the scene, and John pointed him out, and a voice came from heaven. God the Father spoke, and he tells the whole world how he feels about his son. That is how the Father feels about his sons and his daughters. What did he say? Someone tell me. What did God say about his son?
This is my beloved son.
Okay. One time he said, hear him. Hear ye him. I think that was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Not sure. But Mark says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I want that statement to sink into our hearts. We struggle with who we are. We struggle with how people feel about us. We struggle with how God feels about us. But this is what God the Father spoke. He said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, please turn in your Bibles to John 1. John 1, verse 11, talking about Jesus coming. It says, "He, Jesus, came to his own people, and his own did not receive him." The Jews did not, by and large, many of them did not receive him. Verse 12, John 1, 12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God," of the will of God. It is God the Father's will that we are born into his family. We call that being born again. Yes, we were created in his image, and scripture indicates that we are sons and daughters of God through creation. But we turned our backs, we walked away, and now it is the Father's will that we are born again. That's so different than our earthly father's will. Now we know that being born into the Father's will is being born into the Father's family. It's something we need to choose. I think that's clear in all of our minds, that it is of the Father's will, but he doesn't coerce ours, and it won't happen until we choose it. It is of the Father's will, but we choose it. That's different than being choosing. We didn't choose to be born into our earthly parents' family. And even though it was their will to have you in their family, they didn't choose who you would be. They had to take what came. That's different from our Heavenly Father, who wanted us, who designed us, just the way he wanted us to come. But it's not, it's different from our earthly fathers who we didn't have a choice. They wanted sons and daughters, but we didn't choose to be born to our earthly fathers and mothers. Then unique comparisons. But what I want to emphasize here is as many as receive Jesus, as many as choose to believe in his name, are born again, born into his family, and now have, I think King James Version says, the power. I'm reading from New King James, which says, the right. I don't know what other versions say. But now we have the ability, the right, to be called, to become children of God, sons and daughters of the Father. Now turn in your Bibles to Romans 8:28. So, God feels about his Son. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we come into God's family according to God's will, but by our choice, believing in the name of Jesus, God's beloved Son, in whom God the Father is well pleased. Now, Romans 8, verse 29. Now, we're all familiar with that wonderful verse, Romans 8:28, And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. But then verse 29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, God's Son, might be the firstborn among many brethren." So this was God's will, that you and I are brothers and sisters of Jesus. We are children of God, sons and daughters of God the Father, just like Jesus. And we are conformed into the image of Jesus as we follow Jesus. And so, let's do some deduction here. God the Father is saying, "You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." Hear God the Father say that. So, well, let's just start out with that. I have a father. Say that with me. I have a father. I have a father. In our Western world, we find identity in our occupation. I'm a carpenter, I'm a preacher, I'm a plumber, I'm a teacher. Or we find identity in our accomplishment. But other cultures, and I don't know for sure how it is here in Ireland, but other cultures, they find identity in who is their father. That's their identity. So who is your father? Who is God? I have a father who is God, but who is God? I'd like for you to help me. And I'm going to say God is, and I want you to just pop up and say who God is or what he is or what he does. God is love, merciful, faithful, redeemer. God is righteous, the great I am, consuming fire, wonderful counselor, Creator, omniscient. I don't care if you repeat things. God is good, my shelter, my strong tower. God is light, my shepherd. God is Prince of Peace. Abba, Lord of Lords. King of Kings. God is strength, my hope, my Redeemer, Almighty Conqueror. Yes. God is my Comforter, Restorer. Holy. God is love. That's my dad you're talking about. My dad's bigger than your. Oh no. That's, you have the same father, don't you? Do you know it? Do you know it? Are you close to him? Are you representing him? Well, are you walking in that identity? I have a father who is God. You have a father who is God. Here, there are many good fathers here today. And all of us are products of fathers. Some really good, some pretty bad. The whole continuum is represented here. But God is a good father. He is not like your dad in many ways. Your dad may have some things that he is much like God, but no dad perfectly represents our loving, perfect Heavenly Father. Let's just sing that song. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Let's sing the one verse that goes like this. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King, no longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong, I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God, I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Joy dares with Jesus as we travel this side. For I'm part of the family of God. I have a Father. You have a Father who is God. He loves me. He loves you. So, I have a Father, He loves me. Say those two with me. I have a Father, He loves me. Say He loves me again. He loves me. We learn about His heart. God is love. He has unconditional love. And love is not in any way in conflict with holiness. I hear people debate, what's more basic about God, holiness or love? There is absolutely no way to separate the two. Perfect love is perfect holiness. It doesn't matter what you want to say is more basic to God. God is love. God is love. He makes sunshine and rain on the good and on the bad. It's not about how deserving the recipients are. Remember, that is the heart of God towards all of humanity. He also designed me. He designed you. I alluded to that. When your parents chose to have you, they couldn't design you. They had to take what came. Not so with God. He knew exactly what He wanted. He knew exactly what He wanted. He knew exactly what He wanted. That's why He made you, you. He gave you your abilities. He gave you your strengths. He also had His hand in it sovereignly when He designed what difficulties you would be engaged in, what your limitations are. He knew what He wanted. He designed your path. You have a path to walk. You are a unique person, and you have a unique path to walk. Joint heirs with Jesus, as we travel this sod. He has a path for you to walk that only you can walk. Walking in the Father's identity. There is no one else in the world like you. There is no one else in the world that has your path to walk. No one has your exact circumstances. Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, in this case our elder brother, as is in the context of what I'm saying this morning, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls or in the path that you have to walk. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son or daughter is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, even though they didn't have perfect understanding. But he, for our profit, all things work together for good, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. We'll stop reading there. You have a path to walk. In this chapter, it says run, but it says run with endurance. It's not a speed race. It's an endurance test. Run the race that is set before you. Walk the path that God has for you to walk. Not your brother's path, but yours, your path. And I'm here to tell you, you can do it. You can walk your path. And you can walk your path well. You probably won't walk it perfectly, but you can walk it well. You can walk it with joy. You can be excited about it. And you can walk your path like nobody else can. In fact, nobody else can walk your path. You're the only one that can walk your path. You're the only one that can bring glory to God like you can. Because nobody else is you. Of the billions of people God has created in centuries past, and of the billions of people He will create in the future, there is not one with your DNA. There is not one with your circumstances. There is not one that has your path to walk. You're the only one able to walk your path. Embrace it. Embrace it. You are able. See, but the problem is we wouldn't say it, but in the back of our minds, we question God's love. We question His goodness. We come up against something and we say, or we think, subconsciously often, we think, God would not have put this in my path if He would be really good. God would not have given me these limitations. If He would love me perfectly. We know better. We don't actually think this, but that's really what's behind it. God was sleeping when this happened. Or God doesn't really know what's best for me. God must not be completely good. But we have a path to walk. But sometimes there's things in our path that we almost stumble over and fall. Because people are in our path. And people put obstacles in our path. Satan puts obstacles in our path. But you can walk. You can walk. And you can do it well. You can do it with joy. You can bring God so much glory with the way you walk your path. But often we're just sitting on our path. We come to a place in our path and we don't know how to walk it. And we sit down. Now some of you have been walking your path faithfully. Not perfectly, but faithfully. Even though there's things in your path that have tripped you up at times, you have gotten up and you have kept on walking one step at a time. God bless you for that. Just keep on walking. Walking faithfully. Some of you are trying to walk someone else's path that you were never meant to walk. You subconsciously think, if I could walk that person's path, I'd be happier. I'd be more successful. I would bring God more glory. No. It doesn't work that way. That person has to walk their own path. Some of you are trying to walk someone else's path because you think it's too hard for them. And so you're trying to walk it for them. That doesn't work. They have to walk their path. And God will give them what they need to walk their path. Now, walking your path may be helping them, but you can't walk the path. Don't try to walk someone else's path for your sake or for theirs. It doesn't work. But in a crowd this size, I would guess that some of you are just plum sitting on your path. Just sitting down on your path. And you're not getting anywhere. You're wasting time. God is not receiving the glory from your life that is possible. Maybe you're waiting. You're waiting so you can go to school.
you're waiting till you can get out of school, or you're waiting till you can get married, or you're waiting till your spouse, hopefully not waiting till your spouse dies, but you're just waiting. You're waiting. You're waiting until something. Waiting, maybe waiting till your spouse changes, you know, finishes growing up. Or maybe you're waiting until you can have a decent paying job, and as I've heard people say, get on with life. Or maybe you're waiting till you can have a ministry. Just waiting and not walking your path. If you're waiting, you're wasting time. Now God has us wait. It's okay to wait. But while you wait, walk your path. Take a step forward. Don't waste time. Don't just wait. Maybe you are sitting down in self-pity. It's just too much. I can't take this. Other people don't have to go through what I have to go through. And you're sitting in self-pity, wasting time. Maybe you're bored. I see a lot of people who are bored. And they sit down on their path because their path is boring. So they just sit down and don't walk it. That's wasting time. Sometimes out of boredom, people turn to humor. They don't like their path, and so they just sit down and humor themselves. That's wasting time, too. They're not walking their path. But many times, we sit down because of unbelief and fear. Unbelief and fear. We don't really believe that we can walk our path well. And we're afraid we will fail at it, or look stupid, or make some other mistakes. So we don't step forward. We sit down out of unbelief and fear. Maybe we don't believe that we have enough strength to take another step. Maybe we don't believe that we can make it over the next mountain. Maybe we don't believe that we can actually get through that mud puddle that we're facing. Don't let unbelief or fear keep you from walking your path in your Father's identity. There is a way. You might not know how. Nobody around you might know how. But for starters, tell yourself, there is a way for me to walk the path that God has for me to walk. He designed me. He's designed my path. So there has to be a way. He's perfect. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. So there is a way. And I'm going to take the next step. Instead of stumbling over the stumbling blocks, I'm going to step higher. And I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to gain perspective. I'm going to step forward one step at a time. You can do it. You are able. Let's turn to a few scriptures quickly, and to help us understand that we are able. God has given us everything we need. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 1. We'll be turning to a few scriptures here. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see that word Father in there? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. I want you to notice the past tense of that blessing. It has already happened. Our Father has blessed us with one spiritual blessing. No, with every spiritual blessing. Every one of us who has believed in Jesus and has been born into his family has been blessed. And it's already happened. And you might say, well, I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't know it. Well, that may be true. But it has happened. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Past tense. Has blessed. Keep your finger there in Ephesians. And let's go to 2 Peter. Second Peter 1, also verse 3. Starting verse 2, 2 Peter 1, 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given, everybody say, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Notice the past tense. It's been given already. You already have it. You have it. You already have what it takes. You already have it. Now back to Ephesians. I'm sorry, I wanted to read verse 4 also. 2 Peter 1, 4. By which have been given. Some more past tense. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, then verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. So, what's been given enables us to have the nature of God, our Father, walking in his image. All right, back to Ephesians 1, verse 20, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? There's the catch. It has been given, but many times we don't believe it. I don't. It has been given, but I don't believe it. And I will not see it if I don't choose to believe it. We need to choose to believe it. Okay, what power has been given? Exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. He has given you and I a power, the same power that he used to raise Jesus from the dead has been given to you to take your next step, to walk the path he's called you to walk. All right, Ephesians 3, verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. It's in you, in the inner man. Stop looking on the outward. Go inward. Go deeper. It's there, his Spirit, the power of his Spirit. The next verse, Ephesians 3:20. Having now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's in you. All right, now back to 1 Corinthians. We'll leave Ephesians now. Go to 1 Corinthians 2:12. Again, looking at the past tense of what has been given. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. But, and we can say, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Did you get that? You have not received the Spirit from the world. Not the Spirit that makes us bow down to Baal. But we have already received the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And why have we received it? So that we might know the things, all the spiritual blessings that have already been given to us. It's like there's a big table here loaded with all kinds of good things, nourishing things, sustaining things, delicious things, delightful things. But we can't see. But we have been given the Spirit that we might know the things that have been freely given. It's given. You don't have to wait on God. It's given. He has already given us everything that we need for life and godliness, every spiritual blessing, it has been given. And he's also given us his Spirit so that we can know it by faith. Know it. You don't need to turn to it, but the familiar verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear that we stay sitting on our path. He has not given us the spirit of fear. But he has given us the Spirit, the power and of love and of a sound or a self-disciplined mind. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power. He has already given us a spirit of power and of love and of a self-disciplined mind. Let's refer back to that verse in John. But as many as received him, to them he gave. He's already given you the right to be the sons and daughters of God. Just one more, 2 Corinthians 9:8, I'll just read it. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So, we need to stop making excuses. God has designed us. He's designed our path. He's given everything we need. We just need to step forward. We really just need to step forward and keep walking. One step at a time. Will we misstep? Yes, we will misstep. Will we make mistakes? Yes, we will make mistakes. Will we falter? Will we trip up? Will we get stuck in the mud? Yes, yes, yes. But we will keep walking our path with joy, with confidence. I'm the richest kid. My dad is the biggest. And I'm going to stomp all over creation with joy. With joy. And with pride. In Arkansas, we can have pride, you know, without being proud, you know. We're proud of this and proud of that. But with pride in our Heavenly Father, in our Heavenly Father, who our dad is. He's given us the ability to have faith. He's given us Holy Spirit power, Holy Spirit direction, Holy Spirit gifts and fruit. He's given us his body. He's given us purpose. He's given us meaning. He's given us an idea. And everywhere we go, people will be saying, just like his dad, just like her dad, that identity. That ye may be sons and daughters of your Father who is in heaven. Well, do you know the context of that? It was what? Let's just read it. Matthew 5, the end of Matthew 5. Just like her dad. just like his dad. Matthew 5:43, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. How will people know you are God's son or daughter? It's if you bless those who curse you. It's if you love those who hate you. It's if you do good to those who despitefully use you and persecute you. And that verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? The heathen do that? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Unconditional love towards every human, every person on earth. No difference, no discrimination. Whether he's from Northern Ireland or Southern Ireland, whether he's Protestant or Catholic, whether he's heathen or professes Christianity, whether he's Anabaptist or whether he's not Anabaptist, whether he's old or young, whether he's rich or poor, whether he's male or female, it makes no difference whether they have brains or whether they act like they don't. We love everyone unconditionally, receiving them into our hearts. And people can rightly say, just like his dad, the identity of our Father. Let me just speak a few minutes about representing our Father. Fathering is close to my heart. We need fathers. This world is a fatherless place. There's a reason why James 1:28 says, true religion is to visit the fatherless, and I'm paraphrasing, to visit the fatherless in their fatherlessness. We have missing fathers, physically missing, sometimes emotionally missing, missing fathers. Paul told the Corinthians, you have many teachers, but not many fathers. We need fathering to happen. Men, father. Satan hates the father. And he hates anything and everyone that represents the father. That's why there is such an attack on marriages. Because who can tear down fathering faster than a woman? So Satan is behind all of that. That's why there's such an attack by the enemy on families. Because fathering in a family setting is representing God so beautifully. Fathers, father. Men, all men, father. You don't have to be married to father. Paul was an excellent example of fathering. He said, Timothy, my beloved son. Paul had spiritual sons and daughters. Men, father. And ladies, this doesn't leave you out. You represent your father too. That's all fathering is. Representing your heavenly father to others. What is fathering? Fathering is taking initiative. Moving towards another. You can say the words. All of you can say the words that a loving father will say. What do sons long to hear from their father? "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." Sons long to hear the words from their father, "I'm proud of you. You're a man. You can do it. You can do it." They long to hear those words from their father. "You have what it takes. I love you. I bless you." Daughters long to hear from their father, "I love you. You are beautiful. You are worth pursuit. You are worth my time. You are desirable." All of us can say the words of a loving father, thus representing him. Take initiative. Be present. Listen. Be willing to listen to the worthless chatter as well as the heart. Listen to the heart. Say the words of a father. Say life-giving words. Teach. And in your teaching, and in your taking initiative, and in your taking leadership, be willing to be misunderstood. It's been said that fathers are the most misunderstood sector of humanity. Be willing to be misunderstood. Love anyway. Accept anyway. Take into your heart anyway. Teach anyway. Take initiative anyway. Don't just give up. Don't just sit down on your path. Bless. Give a blessing. Point to the Heavenly Father. Now there's one more thing that I should have mentioned before I said this list about what fathering is. One of the best ways, or where it starts in representing the Father, is to be willing to be the beloved son or daughter yourself. Be willing to acknowledge your need for fathering. To see yourself as the forsaken little boy, or the weak little boy, or the weak little girl. See your need for fathering. And be willing to be fathered wherever it comes from. If it's not coming from your earthly father like it should, you have spiritual father. I am fathered by my sons. We need to father each other. We need to represent the Father to each other. And we need to be humble enough to be the beloved sons and the beloved daughters. That's humbling. To acknowledge that need and accept it in whatever direction it comes from. Believe your identity. You are the Father's son and daughter. Receive your Father's identity. This morning he is saying, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased." He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of the will of God. I don't know what you're tempted with the most, but this thing of not believing all of us struggle at times with unbelief. So it seems, and there's different ones of us struggle with different things, but pretty much everybody I've met struggles with one of two areas of unbelief. Either we struggle with not believing our place in the family, that's assurance of salvation. Either we struggle with not believing our place in the family, or then we struggle with believing God's fatherhood or our sonship in daily life. That God is the father that he needs to be for us in everyday life. So, let me say it another way. Either we're worried we're not a Christian, or we're worried that today's going to turn out okay. All of us tend to worry in one or the other. Sometimes we worry in both. It's unbelief. Let's believe our place in the family. We are God's sons and daughters. Just hold your head a little higher because of it. And he's a father that's always present. And he knows all about you. In fact, he brought you up. And he knows all about your path today and the pitfalls and who's going to throw what in front of you to try to trip you up. He knows everything you face today because he's a perfect, present father. So, believe your place in the family and believe your path for today is going to be great. It's going to be good. It's going to be okay. No, yes, you'll have hard things. You'll have gut-wrenching difficulties. You'll have things that you'll go through, but it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay because your father is right there walking through with you. He's your father, and he's perfect. You have a path to walk. Walk it like a son. And not an orphan. Walk it like a victor and not a victim.